chapter 29, verse 25. It says this, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe." You hear that? Whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. God is our refuge, our fortress, our stronghold. Then God, we will be safe. We will be secure and protected from our enemies. See, His word is going to encourage us today to know that we're in that protection that He offers. If He offers it, we have to take it. Because we surely need it right now, especially to navigate through these difficult times that we are in our nation and our personal lives. Psalm 9, verses 9 and 10. "The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you."
Never.
He is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in these times, these troubling times that we are in. As we put our faith in Jesus and seek Him, right there, seek Him every day, we can find peace in these times. We can find peace in what we're dealing with on a personal basis as well. Jeremiah 29, no, not 11. We're going to go to 13. Jeremiah 29, 13. And this is the Lord speaking through the prophet here. "And you," talking to all of us, "and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." See, we must search for Him with all of our heart.
Yeah.
The phrase "with all our heart" means in a very sincere and deeply felt way. It's not something you just do casually. You got to be very sincere. Because Hebrews 11:6, what does it say? "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." We must believe that He is a rewarder of our diligence in seeking Him. You hear that? He is a rewarder. As you seek the Lord and you come and find Him, you will be rewarded. Now, Matthew 6, 33. Matthew 6, 33, the New Living Translation. Says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need." I got to say these slow so you get that. "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need." Seeking God is very profitable, spiritually, emotionally, physically, and yes, financially. See, but we shouldn't be seeking Him for the financial aspect of it. There's so much more when you seek God, but those are the rewards that you will get. And if God is for us, Rich, Who can be against us? That's right. Nobody. See, real simple, what that is telling us is that all our adversaries are powerless. All our adversaries are powerless. They're real. We are in a spiritual battle every day. And when you're sleeping, there's a spiritual battle going on because of the things that get placed in your head during your sleep time. If it's restless, you know who's making it restless?
That's right.
Not God, because he promised us restful sleep. Be aware of that. You know, I sat in a seminar through Zoom, okay, and one of the things that the teaching brought out, and she's the lady who wrote the Word Works book, by the way, but she said and gave numbers, and you know, it went through the different churches, okay, the Catholic religion, about 60% of them believe in spirits that are out there. And then the number drops in the different ones. But Pentecostals, they 100%. They believe because they know who to battle in.
Right.
We're non-denominational, but we're more Pentecostal. Mm-hmm. We do that so people feel that they can come in. And some people say, oh, them Pentecostals, they're crazy people. Well, guess what? Yeah. I know, I'm looking at all of them. Yeah, because we know what we're fighting on.
Yeah.
We aren't crazy. There's a spiritual battle going on.
Yes, there is. 24/7.
Because when we send a prayer up to heaven, it goes up. God sees the prayer, and he sends an answer. And you know what happens? It hits the second heavens, and that's where the enemy is at. And that's who's holding up your prayers. Your prayers were heard and your prayers were answered when you said them. They're getting held up. There's a spiritual battle going on. And you got to fight that battle so that your answer will show up. That's what it's about. Fighting those in the heavenly realm. Whew, the wickedness that's up there. Wow. Jesus, I got to get through. That's not even. Well, let's finish page one here. Okay. And Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3, amplified. God is our refuge and strength, mighty and impenetrable, a very present and well-proved help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth should change, and though the mountains be shaken and slip into the heart of the seas, though its waters roar and foam through the mountains, though the mountains tremble at its roaring. What are we supposed to do? Not fear. It says right there in verse 2, therefore we will not fear. No, we will not. So let's say this. I will not fear, for greater is he who is in me than who is in the world. I overcome fear with the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I am an overcomer. I am an overcomer. I am an overcomer through Jesus who strengthens me. He will strengthen you to overcome the fear. With all that intimidation that comes against us, we cannot cower down to the enemy. Stand bold. Stand strong. Don't waver in your stand. Jesus will strengthen you. Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So we can confidently say, I will no fear any evil whatsoever. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. No matter how dark the valley is, we don't walk through it alone. God is with us. in every step of the way. Like I said, his rod and staff bring us comfort. Now, the rod is actually a club. Yeah. So understand the difference. Club, to beat something with, to beat off the lions and the bears, you know. And it helps to have a little slingshot and be good with it, you know. But his rod and his staff, they were what the shepherd used to protect and guide his sheep. And Jesus is our good shepherd. Because he said it himself. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And that's John 10:11. Jesus is our good shepherd. And he provides for our protection and safety and also guides and directs our steps through these troubling times. Because in Psalm 37:23-24, the steps of a good man are, and I'm saying, we say it ordered, but actually look at that word, it's established by the Lord. And he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. When we obey God's word, our steps will be then firmly established. You know, and if we do stumble and fall, as the Apostle Peter did by denying the Lord is able to restore us to himself. It's dead right there. For the Lord upholds us with his hand. And also, we have 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, I like the easy read version, okay? And it says, if we confess our sins, God will forgive us. We can trust God to do this. He always does what is right. He will make us clean from all the wrong things we have done. Right now, we should be able to say, thank you, Lord, with a loud voice. Should we not? I mean, you should be saying that right now. Say that real loud. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, he has cleansed you from all the wrong things you've done. If you ask him, go to him and say, Lord, I blew it. I want to repent before you. And you know what? He hears you and he takes care of it right then and there. He takes care of it. See, God is our source of strength. And he's always ready to help us when we pray. And we put our faith in him in our troubling times. Psalm 46:3 in the easy read version says it's like this. We are not afraid when the seas become rough and dark and the mountains tremble. We are not to be afraid in these rough, dark times and ground shaking that we see and we feel. Our feet are firmly established. We stand on the solid rock. See, it's on the solid rock I stand, and all other ground is sinking sand. And we're talking about Jesus. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 4. But I want you to listen what Paul has to say about the rock here. I don't know how many of you have ever picked this up. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. You get the picture of that? The cloud with the Israelites coming out? Okay, let's make sure we got you there. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. Yeah. They had so much quail, it made them sickening. You know, they just keep eating. It was all over the ground. That's all they did was whatever they walked, it was quail, because they cried so much to God. Yeah. God said, okay, I'll give you what you want. Then they didn't know what to do with it. God can supply way beyond. Yeah. Verse 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. God inspired him and brought things to his attention that I think a lot of people didn't pick up on. But Paul did. And he put them in here because God wanted them so that we could understand the relationship from what happened there to now. It's all putting it all together. But the Apostle Paul tells us that the rock in the wilderness that was gushing water was a picture of Jesus Christ. Jesus is God's provision for us. All the goodness and grace of God flow out of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. The new song that the tribe's working on is called Honey in a Rock. It says, there's honey in a rock, water in a stone, manna on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know. Everything I need, you've got. Oh, there's honey in the rock. And when you think about that now, and that flowing out for us is goodness and grace. Whew. Everything we need is found in Jesus, our rock. Everything. What did he operate in? Love. Yeah. And what's love got to do with it?
Everything.
And God is so good. In James chapter 1, verse 17, says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. If it's not good and it's not perfect, you know where it came from. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Man, God provides us with nothing but the good. And some things that happen to us, God will turn around. He will turn them into good. It may take a while to see it, but he does. Because a lot of you have had questions of why this, why that happened. Why someone dies at a young age and someone else lives to 110, 112 years old. You know, we've heard them. You know, we want to know what, why. Well, there is no reasoning why. That's not for us to worry and consider. We're here to pray and pray for one another and make sure that those get to heaven. We don't want nobody not going to heaven.
Right.
You study out what it's like down there in hell and what some of the things, that's not a place you want to be because you'll be there forever in that suffering stage. Okay. In Psalm 107, verses 8 and 9, it says, they're still talking about the goodness of God here from them. It says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Yeah. He's good, does good, and God gives good gifts to his children. Okay, your turn again. Say, I am a child of God.
I am a child of God.
And that makes me a king's kid.
And that makes me a king's kid.
I am a king's kid.
I am a king's kid.
I am a king's kid.
Come on, I am a king's kid.
That comes with privileges. You got privileges. You don't have to bow to anything or anybody else. You've got so much in being a king's kid, you aren't even aware of it.
Come on, Pastor.
Abundance and riches above anything you should ever could even think or ask, he can take care of. And it's yours because you are a king's kid. You are, God looks at you just as he looks at Jesus, his son. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
I know we talk about it a lot, but I keep wanting to bring it up because the more you understand that you're there and he looks at Jesus and says, oh, Jesus can do this, Jesus wants to do that, and Jesus can still heal. But we're his vessel. We're the ones who pray. We're the ones who lay hands on. And how do we do it? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's how the men got, that's how they healed him right there going in, right? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up, he said.
Yes.
What happened? He put his hand out, picked that dude up, and he hadn't walked since he was born. And he got up, planted his feet, and he's out. And all he did was dance after that. He danced outside, he danced his way all the way in, and in there he was dancing. And then you had them religious folks in there who said, you can't do that. What's happening here? You know? God. So I'm just telling you, there's healing here. Healing in Jesus' name. Psalm 119, verse 68. Real simple. You are good. And what you do is good. Teach me your decrees. Oh, teach me your decrees. His decrees are found in his word. Shirley, Vicki, and Teresa give us God's decrees every Sunday morning. And they're all word decrees. God wants us to decree his word. That's why they bring all these different points to us. Because they take it personal. And when they want to do it, they want to make sure that they impart that to you because it's so important to get you to understand when you decree that and you're decreeing the word of God, you have it. Decree a thing or two and it shall be established unto you is what the word says. Don't get bored with the decrees because they're there to help us and strengthen us. And I think each of them, three of them are working hard. They just don't pick up the book. They make it and they want it to come out of them, out of their spirit man. They want the Holy Spirit to come out. And that's what you see and that's what you get from those three.
Thank you,
ladies. Amen. Amen. But like that, God is good and what he does is good. Because that's what the scripture tells us. Tell me, is he good? Tell me, is he God?
He is
good God. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the noontime. Praise him when the sun goes down. Love him in the morning. Love him in the noontime. Love him when the sun goes down. Good God Almighty, right? I hope you'll find me praising your name no matter what comes. Because I know where I'd be without your mercy.
So I keep praising.
My lungs, hallelujah. Well, I was waiting for the French fry real loud, but he didn't do it. I gave him the signal, hallelujah. So we are to praise him morning, noon, and night. Understand that? Praise him. Something happens that you don't like. Don't go off on a tangent. Paul, praise you, Lord. Teach me something through what just happened. Teach me. Hallelujah. See, sometimes we've got to dance through the darkness of the valley.
That's the truth.
Sing through the fire of oppression. Praise when it makes no sense. He is worthy of all of our praise, no matter what comes. He's full of goodness. That's what he is. He's good God Almighty. In Luke 11:13, Jesus here, I like the way this, he addresses everyone. Says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Being filled with the Holy Spirit gives you power and strength, which enables you to do more for God. You will be able to fulfill God's plan for your life. And if you're not sure of his plan for your life, simply ask him. And Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. If you haven't received the baptism of Holy Spirit and want to, today is your day. Receive it. It's a free gift. It costs you nothing. You already asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, and he moved into your heart. Yeah, you got the Spirit in you, but you don't have the full power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had the Spirit, but until it was imparted into him, he got water baptized, come up, boom. That's when he got the dove come upon him. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. We too, when we're born again, have the Spirit of God. But it's only to a certain degree. Now we need the full thing. And you can ask for it. It's free. It's free. Theologian James Bryant Smith defines goodness as that which works for the benefit or betterment of another. It took a theologian to tell us that. The term gospel means good news. And what is the good news but Jesus Christ? It's all about that. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ. Because the angels, that one angel, he brought that announcement and he announced it to those shepherds. What he says, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. He said, for today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
When you think about that, he is good news for us. And it brings us great joy. When you trust in him 100% of the way, I'm talking 100% of the way. Psalm 23:6. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. His goodness and love pursue us. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd rather have that than I would unkindness, hate, strife, envy, jealousy. Come on. I hope you all agree with that. Goodness and love come from the, you know, that the psalmist talks about here is a choice. It's a choice of his dwelling place. The choice of our dwelling place is important. You understand that? Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, the psalmist says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because in Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2, what we have in verse 1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This is El Shaddai. A root meaning for El Shaddai is the overpowerer. Meaning God will do what he purposes to do, overpowering all opposition. Pretty good shadow, I'd say. Okay, the Septuagint translates Shaddai as, I like this, the God of heaven. The God. There is no other God but him. He's the head honcho.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay? He is the man. That's where we want to be. In the secret place, abiding under his shadow. Huh? There's protection under that shadow. With boldness, we can declare verse 2. Can we not? Let's declare it together. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Yeah. See, God is our refuge and our fortress. Now, I want you to get a picture of this. Okay? Okay? It's in reference to, think of it as a castle. It's a place of defense and protection against large-scale attacks. Can you just picture that? I mean, you've seen enough movies now and seen the castles that were built. Wow. See, whatever you might be going through right now, you can declare that the Lord is your refuge and your fortress. Your protection in both small as well as big attacks. Doesn't matter the size. Whatever it is that comes against you, he is the one who brings the protection for you. Because right there at the end, what did it say? In him, I will trust. There's the key. You've got to trust. It's our faith.
Yes.
Our faith in him.
Yes.
Faith in him to do what he has promised to do. You're a king's kid. Remember that. See, regardless of how events unfold, regardless of how bad it gets, see, and it's getting so bad because they're getting so, the evil is getting so arrogant anymore. And we can see that in what's happening. Especially if, I don't know how many of you are still watching a lot of the mainstream news media, but it's quite sickening. And I get bits and pieces of it. You can ask my wife as a witness and before God, I do not watch. Only thing I watch is the Victory Channel. And that's on when I need a refreshing, I'll turn it on to watch a Believer's Voice of Victory, Southwest Believers Conference, but it's Flashpoint and Victory News. I ain't getting my news from anywhere else. I mean, they show what's going on, how it's being reported, and then they give you the truth. Okay, and that's why I'm telling you, what are you listening to? Because if you're listening to the other, fear will overtake you. Fear will take over. You will get into worry. And what's worry do? Brings physical ailment upon you. Yeah. The two of them work. It works against you.
It does.
Your worrying works against you. But if God is our refuge, we don't have to worry. Proverbs 3, verses 25, 26. We need not be afraid of sudden disaster or the destruction that comes upon the wicked. For the Lord is your security. He will keep your foot from being caught in a trap. as the righteous, you and I can survive national judgment or any other kind of danger. We can come through the worst of times and end up more blessed than ever. Really? There's a place in the Bible that talks about that. And it's a great picture. And that's found in the book of Exodus. And it's about what God did for the children of Israel the night before he brought them out of Egypt. And you talk about a time of national judgment. On that night, all the firstborn of Egypt died because of the nation's rebellion against God. If they'd have just let them go in the first place, we wouldn't even have this part in the story. And if the Israelites would have disobeyed him, they wouldn't have spent 40 years.
That's
right. And those ones that were in there who didn't want to believe and go forward, they died in the wilderness. They never got to see the promised land. But in the midst of it all, the Lord protected and he prospered his people. There were animals that went down. The firstborns of the herds. Can you imagine the firstborn of the children and the crying and weeping that went out that night? And not one of God's people perished. Every one of them was protected because they obeyed the Lord. They are the ones who heard the Lord, did what they did with the sacrificial lamb. And what did they do? They painted the doorpost and the lintel, and that death did not come in to their house. And Christ came, and he sacrificed his life for us. And we partake of that communion. Think of that, because you have the ability to take the blood of Jesus and paint it on your doorpost and over your lintels of your houses. Yeah, you can anoint them. We're called to do that. We're called to walk a bloodline on our property line. Don't be afraid to go out and refresh it every once in a while. Because you don't want anything to cross that bloodline. Because it can't cross the bloodline. Once you apply it, evil can't come across it. There's a lot of things we can do for ourselves, and God has told us to do it. But a lot of us don't do it. So you got to reinforce what you do too. It's just not a one-time thing. See, because the enemy's waiting for that to fall. And that's where it's going to fall is because you're losing faith. You don't believe. Something starts to happen. You just start, okay, that's coming. Why is that happening? And then you start doubting that your protection is there. You totally forget about the protection. You whine and cry about it. Next thing you know, you got this happening, that happening, this happening in your house. Put the bloodline. Put it down. Run it over. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, like I said, but in the midst of all of it, the Lord protected and prospered his people. He fulfilled the promise he made to them in Exodus 11:7, that anything against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that you may know how the Lord does make a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. God does the same for us. He makes a difference between the righteous and the unrighteous. Did you realize that the life you are living is a result of choices that you have made throughout your life? Every future victory is really up to you. Not other people, events, or circumstances. You are where you are by your choices. And you need to own up to them. I think that's a key thing right there. You got to own up to them. And once you take ownership of your choices, you can rule over circumstances instead of being ruled by them. Instead of making excuses or blaming others, begin to realize that you can determine the quality of your life. You don't have to be victimized by the past or troubled by the future. Taking ownership of choices will move you toward victory and away from the victim mentality that results in defeat. Choice. The choice is yours. It's mine. When Joshua was talking to the people, he says, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." So we have a choice. Who are our gods? Who are our gods? There should only be one God, and that is the Lord. It's pretty simple. You know, Dean, if your dad was here, I mean, he realized he had a beautiful boat. He made that boat his God. And he told the story about it, and then finally he says, "You know what? He got saved." He says, "I'm selling this thing. I made that boat took me out of church every Sunday. It took me away from where I wanted to be." See, we got to watch what we make a God. We don't realize sometimes what we make a God out to be. You can make another person a God, and that's what you don't want to do. Right. Everyone has their place and their calling in the body of Christ. And they're not gods. We're all servants.
That's right.
We're all servants. All of us have a different calling. And like I say, if you're not sure of your calling, you get on your knees with God and spend quiet time. He won't let you know. You're thinking, "Oh, what if he calls me out to the missionary fields?" If he called you, he'll make it all happen. You're not going to lose any money. You're not going to lose anything. You got to understand how God operates. But your mission field might be right there where you're working, with the people you're around. There are 7.888 billion people in the world. I like to know how they got that number, really. But that's the number they have. And did you know that, and that's why I said 7.888 billion. Now, 2.4 billion are Christians. That's one third of the people on this earth are Christians. And all it's talking about is they believe in Jesus. But see, there's different Christians that I can see. And that's why if that many people, one third of them could gather together, what an impact it could have. We could take the rest of those billions with us. That's what we're called to do here as this nation. That's why this nation's not going down. It's not going down. America shall be saved. There's work to do. There's billions out there. That's why we've prayed for this during this revival that we're in right now. This awakening that we're in. See, everybody's let it go. No, it's moving. It's still happening. Everybody got excited. But see, that's what happens. We get excited and we forget about it. I've seen people go to seminars. Oh, they get all pumped up. And then they come back. And a week later, they're back to this. Well, what happened? Once you get it, you got to do something with it. That's our problem. We don't do something with that. Hallelujah. Well, I'm just saying, you got to get with God. That's what it's about. But to finish that scripture, he said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He made a statement. And he lived a long time. I mean, that man, he was still fighting battles way into his, hundreds. And so was Caleb. Yeah. And so is Uncle Caleb.
Yeah,
right. Fighting the battles. He's not going anywhere. With long life, God will satisfy him and is satisfying him. That's why God said, look at what I can do when you put all your trust and faith in God. And he has. And he continually does. And he's not ashamed of it. He tells his doctors. He tells his beautiful daughter back there. All that, all the time. And David. But see, his faith. He's acting on his faith. And no weapon formed against him shall prosper. None. So make the choice to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your life. Then you will be able to take refuge. Right? Amen and amen. That's it, Ted, for that. But I want to reinforce this. Come on up here, tribe.